invite you to bow with me as we pray together. Holy God, we have journeyed through this season of Lent, and we come to this Palm Sunday. We've been on this journey with the ups and downs and the challenges and looking ahead, and we pray that at the vantage point from this Mount of Olives, looking down over the city of Jerusalem as Jesus did, in things that are to come, that your Spirit would journey with us, that you would be with us and open our hearts and prepare us to walk with Christ through the things that are to come. So may your Spirit meet us here. May you fill us with the breath of your Spirit, bringing life to us, opening us up to the word that you would have us to hear. And as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those of you that have been with us on this journey of Lent, or those that have been here some or not at all, I wanted to just recap a little bit of where we have been, what has brought us to this moment. And so we began this season of Lent on Ash Wednesday. For those of you who were here that day or the following Sunday, you may remember that we had broken pieces of tile. I think there's one still laying up here, in fact. But we had these broken pieces of tile to remind us that we all have broken lives, that we all have something that has gone awry, something that's not working out. Life has bruised and battered us, some of it by circumstance, maybe some of it because of choices that we've made in our own lives. And so we wrote those things. We surrendered them to God. We put them in. Nicole is working on a project with those that is going to be with us next week, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. But we come into this season mindful of our mortality and our need for all that God can and will do in our lives. So we began Lent with that idea of this spiritual rehab, and we had those activities and exercises that were some spiritual disciplines. Maybe give you some resources and tools for engaging in that work. But that first week, Curtis talked about that wilderness, and we used the story of Jesus being led into the wilderness, that we have those times in our lives because of those things that we carry, that we find ourselves in those lonely wilderness places, struggling to figure out what to do and where to go. And it usually takes an intervention. Week was Jesus talking with Peter, and Peter asking Peter, "Who do you say that I am, and who do people say that I am?" Peter tries to repeat this. Jesus says, "No, this isn't how it's going to be." And he says, "We need to readjust here." And often for us, those readjustments, those interventions come when loved ones come to us and say, "What you're doing is not working." Sometimes Holy Spirit does that in our lives as well. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut spiritually where we're going through the motions, that we get up, we come to church and stuff, but we walk away and we don't allow God to do anything in it while we're here, let alone through the rest of the week. And so sometimes God has to get our attention. Sometimes he has to do it dramatically, sometimes it's subtly, but God breaks. And so then we begin looking at what are the steps we go through. Recovery programs have their 12-step programs. People that are in rehab for following surgery, they have milestones and, okay, well, once you can do this, and once we can do stairs, and once we can do these things, then you can go home. For us, spiritually, part of that program that we follow are the things that God is doing in our lives. Things that God has instructed us on. Things that God is working and moving about us. Ways that God has called us to be loving people. Ways that God has called us to relate to him. And we talked a little bit about the Ten Commandments, how God has in some ways given us this program and said, here's what you need to do. Love God. Observe the Sabbath. Don't covet what other people have. Don't steal. Don't do those things. when it comes to those programs, people that are in rehab know that sometimes things happen that set you back. Things are going along pretty good. You're doing your work. You're being exercised. You're being stretched. You're being challenged. And then one night you try to get up to go to the bathroom by yourself, and you fall and you set things back. People recovering from addictions experience that when they relapse, when they go back to the alcohol or the drugs or the things that have had that grip on them. They start over. And they do it again. Spiritually, we do that as well. We get in the habit of reading our Bible, of praying, of journaling, of doing those things, and then life gets crazy. We let it go to the side. We don't give up, but we pick it up, and we start going through that process once again. The fourth week of Lent was actually Youth Sunday. The theme for that day in preaching it would be recovery from John 3:16, of where God loved this world and he sent his son. That recovery comes when we embrace that son. And really, the youth did a great job without calling it that when they showed us those testimonies from some of you sitting here today and from some of the members of First and Centerville talking about this faith journey they're on, the way that God has been at work and moving in their lives. We got a glimpse of what that looks like for others. And that's why testimonies powerful, because they help us to see, they illustrate for us what God can do through a person's life. And last week then, Curtis talked about living in those promises, the hope that God has given us. And so through all of this journey, through the ups and downs that this talk about rehab has brought about, I may think maybe some of you are thinking, okay, finally, we're done with that. Finally, we're at Palm Sunday. Finally, we get to celebrate. But have you ever had those moments in life where celebration comes too soon? Celebration maybe comes prematurely or really isn't in order? I've got a short video clip I want you to see to give you an idea of what celebration failure looks like.
And Robbie Simpson ghosting into the box and picking out the far corner. And that should be that for Coventry City.
Oops. For all of that effort and all of that work to end up there. Have you ever had those moments in life? Things are going great, you're ready, you're excited, and then you fall flat. I think in a lot of ways, coming to Palm Sunday is kind of like that soccer player's experience. Lent for a lot of people is kind of a downer. Because we're asked to fast, we're asked to give something up, we're asked to be reminded of our mortality and our need for God in our lives. We're asked to own those things, which we have to do. But it wears on us. And thankfully, Lent is only those 40 days, not counting the Sundays. And so we come to Palm Sunday. We wave the palm fronds, we sing Hosanna, we're excited, we're celebrating. But as soon as we leave that Mount of Olives, it's about like that soccer player. Because Holy Week hits us like that. This morning, we're going to be ending the service a little differently than we have other Palm Sundays. Because I've always felt like, you know what, let Palm Sunday be Palm Sunday. Let's celebrate, let's do these things, and then we'll have Maundy Thursday, and we'll have Good Friday. And many of you come to those. But I know not all. And so some churches observe what is called Palm Passion Sunday. We start out waving our palm fronds. We start out excited and ready to celebrate and welcome Jesus. And then we read the story of the Passion before we leave. Because we have to. We have to face Holy Week. We have to end up with our face in the grass. We have to experience stepping off of that cliff into the passion of Jesus. If we came and we waved our palm fronds on Palm Sunday and we jumped over all of that to Easter, things would be good. We'd go from celebration to even better celebration, but we'd be blind and ignoring and denying the reality of that low that Holy Week brings. And the truth of it is, we need it. We need it because that's where Jesus went. And we need to go there with Jesus because we'll have those low moments in life. We'll have those times when we feel like there is no hope, there is no way this is going to get any better. And then we're reminded that, oh, Jesus has already been here. In our scripture reading this morning from 2 Philippians, we're admonished to let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I've been to the Holy Land, and I know that some of you have as well, and particularly where you go to hear about and be reminded of this Palm Sunday procession is on a hill that slopes down, and you can look out and see the city of Jerusalem. And there's a road that is a cobblestone road that weaves and winds down, and you get dropped off by your bus, and you actually make your way down, and you go through the it's the Mount of Olives, and then you go down through an olive grove, and then there's a gate into the city that you go. And it's where they believe that Jesus entered Jerusalem, because the gates are named, and it's the one on that side of the city. And for Jesus, knowing what lie ahead, knowing that he still had to go to Jerusalem, I imagine that there was a little bit of a pep talk that he was giving himself standing there, looking out over the city. You see athletes do this all the time. I don't think he's here this morning. If any of you have had the opportunity to see Ike Camus dive, when Ike or any diver gets up on the board, they get up there, and I don't know what they're thinking, but you can tell they're running through their head the things that need to happen, the things that they need to do, and playing it through in their mind before they actually take that first step and begin to make that dive. I think that that view from the Mount of Olives was Jesus giving himself a pep talk, looking down on Jerusalem, knowing that things weren't going to end well for him, but then taking those steps and making that journey. Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Jesus was one with God, and yet Jesus didn't take advantage of it. It says he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus was adamant about one thing, about being obedient, about being faithful to what God had sent him to do, and being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now we have the foresight to be able to look beyond that and say, that's not where the story ends. And that's why we're coming back next Sunday to celebrate that the story didn't end there. Because it says, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under heaven, under the earth, and also every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we make this journey, as we wrap up this season of Lent, as we stand on the Mount of Olives preparing to make this journey and to step off sometimes a cliff, into the reality of what Holy Week means. We do so out of obedience as well. We do so taking on that attitude and that mind of Christ, that we're going to confront these things, that we're going to take them head on, and we're going to trust that God is going to be with us each step of the way. There's a song that is one that I haven't heard for quite some time, but many of you probably know the singer-songwriter Bob Carlyle. He wrote the song Butterfly Kisses about the dad and his little girl and her wedding day. Probably his best-known song, but he's got another song that was a favorite of mine that's called We Fall Down. And much like that Butterfly Kisses is kind of a story that moves you along, kind of a ballad, this song We Fall Down is about this, you know, I imagine a peasant man in a medieval city or town who has this long trek each and every day to the market, carrying a heavy load. And each day he passes this tall monastery with imposing walls, and each day he thinks, man, life's got to be good for them. Regular meals, a warm place to live. Wonder what it's like. And it just so happened one day on this journey to the market, one of the monks in the monastery came out, and this peasant man stops him and says, tell me, how good is your life? What's it like to live there? Surely it's better than everything I know. And the monk stops and looks at him, and he says, we fall down, and we get up. We fall down, and we get up. We fall down, and we get up. Much like this rehab that we've talked about. And then the refrain says, the saints are just the sinners who fall down and get up again. Now the song goes on, and this peasant man goes away somewhat dejected, thinking, well, apparently it's not good anywhere. He walks away thinking, if it's not good for them, there's surely no hope for someone like me. But then he sees himself and his situation in a new light. And he begins to realize that if they fall down and get up, and if they can find enough grace of God to do that, surely I can as well. So I hope that through this season of Lent, if you've stumbled and fallen, that you too would find the grace of God sufficient for you to get up again and to press on, and to know that this journey you're on is not one that you walk alone. All of these people sitting around you are on this journey as well. All of these people before you leading worship are in this journey too. Curtis and I, just because we wear the fancy robes and have those seminary degrees, don't have it all figured out. We fall down and we get up. And God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. Palm Sunday is not a celebration fail. Palm Sunday is a part of the journey. Palm Sunday is a stumbling. We may fall, but we get up again. That soccer player, that probably wasn't the last shot on a goal that he ever took. He fell down, and I trust he got up again. In your lives, in your day-to-day living, the struggles, the challenges you face in life, may God assist you that when you fall, you get up again. In your spiritual life, may the same be true as well. May Holy Week be a time to confront those things that have the potential to unbalance us and to knock us around. But may God's grace bring us through that we can make our celebration today look pretty timid compared to celebrating the empty tomb next Sunday. Amen.